Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James. I'm so glad you joined us this week. We love having you join us with our conversation. I'm here with my best friend, Mariah Voliver.
Hello, everybody.
She loves Jesus, and she's a worship leader extraordinaire. We have just been sitting here talking about insecurity because we just spent 2 weeks talking about unguarded and perfectly protected. We don't feel like that all the time. We feel unguarded. We feel uncovered a lot, but we don't feel the perfect protection of the Lord. And so as we came around for this particular podcast, we were wondering if we could explore some of those things, because as men and as women, we struggle with insecurity. And when we are yielding to insecurity, which is strictly rooted in fear.
Yeah.
Right. Insecurity is always rooted in fear. You're either making your decisions out of love or fear. Right. So insecurity is a fear-based reaction. Anger is a fear-based reaction. You can be insecure and angry because of the insecurity that you carry, and that's all motivated out of fear. But the scripture says that perfect love casts out fear, because fear carries with it the threat of torment and punishment. There's no punishment for you. I have news for you today. If you didn't know this, Jesus took your punishment. So as you yield your life to the King of Kings, Jesus, by faith, you come into him. The scripture says you are hidden with Christ in God. And then all that fear of punishment begins to evaporate because he was punished on your behalf. When that becomes your most dominant thought, fear begins to dissipate. Why? What do I have to be afraid of? The one who matters most in the entire universe has already made a judgment concerning me, that I am the accepted and the beloved, according to Ephesians. I am accepted. He's accepted me. He called me accepted. That is my label. All of heaven knows it. They all know it. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Hebrews says. And they all know that we are accepted. Our names are written down in this book called the Lamb's Book of Life. They can read the story that Jesus wrote for us before we ever lived one day. He wrote the days that we would live before him. They can read the record of the conversations we have concerning him. Did you know that when we talk about him, angels bow down to listen? They bend their ear to listen. He listens to the conversations that are being spoken about the Lord. He likes hearing it.
Wow.
He likes hearing it, and he writes it down. There's a recorder in heaven. Either they write it with pen and ink, there's a scribing angel, or they record it on some great technology up there. But it's all written down for us to remember and for him to listen to again and again. So where does insecurity come from? Insecurity comes from being out of that spot of knowing that he chose me from the foundation of the earth.
Yeah.
That he's called me by my name and I belong to him in Isaiah 43. When that becomes my most dominant thought, I love you, but your opinion about me is irrelevant. Because the one for whom I exist, the one that created me for his good pleasure, has already made a judgment concerning me, and it is good. So your judgment concerning me is irrelevant, although I love you. And I would like to make you happy. That would be my great goal, is to make you happy with my life. But if that doesn't happen, and I've obeyed the Lord, all is well. Amen?
Yeah.
What about you? I mean, is that something that you struggle with?
Insecurity?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. In fact, you know, the word fearless has been running through my spirit for several months. Mm. And it's one of those things I'm just asking the Lord for more of. I don't want to have fear. And, you know, for me, it's not... You were talking about this the other day. It's not like, oh my gosh, is a bomb going to go off? Oh no, am I going to get sick? Or something like that. And if you struggle with those fears, we can deal with that today. But it's not extreme fears like that for me. It's, oh no, what if they disapprove of me?
Yeah.
What if they don't like me? Mm-hmm. Did I just say something stupid? Are they going to reject me? Those kinds of things. Those can be debilitating to me. And now, if someone needed help and there was an emergency situation and their lives on the line, I could jump into action. I would be fine. That's not something I fear, but what I do fear is disapproval. Mm-hmm. And so insecurity rides in on that. And oh my goodness, this...
So if you have insecurity, here's what's going to happen with you. If you are an angry person, if that tends to be your default, you'll get angry over that and you'll fly off the handle. But when you get down to the bottom of it, you feel like an orphan, you feel rejected, you feel cast out, and you feel afraid. Mm-hmm. And there are times that you'll find yourself overreacting to something in anger. And what you really need to ask yourself is, what am I afraid of? Mm-hmm. And when you find that out and you figure out that the lie you're believing is that you are rejected and that you're on the outside of what is great looking into the story, when you realize that that is the lie you are believing and the truth about that is the God of all creation called you by your name. He knows you and he thinks of you often. He speaks of you. He is right next to you, adjusting your life day by day, assisting you with angelic support and everything else he has available mm-hmm. to make sure you make your appointment with destiny.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
When that becomes more important to you and more real to you than the opinion of somebody next to you or than the opinion of your parents or your siblings or your whatever, whoever it is that you have hinged your joy to, mm-hmm. right? When his approval becomes my most dominant motivation,
yeah.
then I know the scripture is true that says everything I set my hand to prospers. Mm. I know the scripture is true that says I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and that he loves healing me, and he loves rescuing me, and that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And my children will be mighty in the earth. You know why? Because he chose me.
Yeah.
And I belong to him. He is Abba to me. He is my father. And when he looks at me, there is no displeasure. Even if I've done a displeasing thing, he looks at me through the perfect life of Jesus that was lived on my behalf.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Now let me clear up some theological things for you here, because there are some legalists in the crowd that are going, but what about holiness and what about all of those things? Amen. I'm all about holiness, but here's the thing. Holiness is a byproduct of love. Holiness comes when I am so in love with this king that chose me that I would never want to do anything to bring any kind of shame on the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sin and get away with it.
Yeah, no.
I am so in love with this God. My eyes are on him all the time. And I'm so aware of his love for me. I have no desire for sin. I have news for you. I smoke all the cigarettes I want to smoke. There's no legalism involved. I just don't want to smoke any.
Yeah.
I'm doing all the evil stuff I ever wanted to do. I just don't ever want to do it.
Yeah.
It's not my desire. My desire has shifted to him. He is my great desire. So holiness is this byproduct of a life lived in love with the king. It's not, you can't get the cart in front of the horse. I'm trying to get my analogy right. Because when I'm trying to live holy in order to gain his approval, there's never enough of that.
Well, you have to start at the fact that you're accepted, you're invited.
Right.
You are well received by the king.
You are well received.
And that fact makes me never want to stop looking at his face.
It kind of reminds me of, and I don't know what kind of high school experience y'all had, but I had a high school teacher that thought that I could fly. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was wrong with this man, but he thought everything I did was the most amazing thing he'd ever seen. Or at least that's what he communicated with me. And man, I worked for this guy. I worked my tail off to get good grades for him. Because his pleasure became first and foremost to me. I wasn't raised a believer, so, you know. We have those issues.
About to do.
Right. Right. It's the same way with the Lord. I know his approval of me. Therefore, my life adjusts to please him.
And you know what? With me, it's when I slip out of the awareness of that approval, that he does approve of me. He accepts me and loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I slip out of the reality of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my mind, okay? Yeah. You're never actually out of, that's part of salvation. But in my mentality, I start to believe something else. And that's where I start to trip, is that spot. That's where I start to lose my place and lose my identity and make mistakes
mm-hmm.
and stop obeying him. Because I've lost sight of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've lost sight of who
disappointment, a sense of disappointment never motivates you mm-hmm. to do better. Condemnation and disappointment slow you down in your path. They don't provoke you to do better.
Yeah.
They convince you you can never do better.
In fact, if you... I experienced this the other night. I was leading worship with some friends, and we were at our house. It was super great, just a really intimate time, and I was just really attacked. The enemy just really attacked me with a lot of rejection and condemnation and accusation, and I took the bait, and I was like, I started to feel all this pressure to perform and like do the right thing and hear God, hear the voice of God, hear the song and play it. You better hurry, because it's, you know, and I just felt all this pressure, and I just lost my footing there for a little while, for about 30 minutes of this. It was a 2-hour set, and oh my goodness, I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my gosh, well, so I just began to press in. I started mm-hmm. to just press in more and more, and it was actually after the set that Sandy was going to pray over the band. It was awesome, and I felt like I missed it, and I just felt like such a disappointment. And the Lord said, I'm still here. Like, you didn't miss it.
Mm.
I'm still here.
I'm still doing it. You couldn't have missed it. I'm still here doing what
like,
I do.
I mean, it was like a breath of fresh mm-hmm. air. Like, oh mm-hmm. my gosh, praise Jesus.
That's the rescue.
Yes.
Is when we know he is madly in love with us. He's not pleased with disobedience.
Right.
But he's not looking at you through your disobedience, child of God. If you are a believer, he's not looking at you through that. He is looking at you through the sacrifice of Jesus.
In fact, in this moment, I kept, you know, feeling condemned, that I was feeling out of place, and what can I hear God's voice, and what's wrong with me? And I kept hearing the voice of the Lord in the ebb and flow of these lies that I was hearing. He would say, hey, just enter back in. It's easy.
Just step in.
And then another lie would speak louder mm-hmm. to me, and I would get tossed and turned about by these other things. And then, hey, it's easy. Just come on back in. It's like, oh, okay. And then you know how it is when you're struggling with something like that. You got to just let it go and stop believing the lie.
Yeah. And you have to say out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been totally okay for you to stop everything and go, excuse me, and just make the decree.
To punch the devil
make
in the face,
decree. Right. Make the decree that says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. None of this is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely none of this is true. The Lord has received me and prepared a place for me right next to him.
Yeah.
And I'll take that place now. Thank you very much. Sometimes you have to open your mouth and make the decree, because your thoughts, the thoughts of the wicked one that are trying to lie to you. And it's so funny, because the enemy will lie to you about you being rejected and not accepted. And then everything begins to line up to prove that to you. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody will give you a look because they were going to sneeze or because whatever.
Right.
And you take that as total confirmation that nobody wants me here. And I am totally ineffective. I've never heard God in my entire life.
Am I even saved?
I've gone there so many times. Lord, I just need to get saved, I think. Something needs to happen. And so the thing is that we cannot, we're going to take a break for our sponsor in a second and talk about this, but we can't even love people well
mm-mm.
until we know whose we are and who we are, and that he chose us based on Jesus' righteousness and his merits. And the thing is, we think that by condemning ourselves, we'll live better. And it's exactly the opposite. The more we condemn ourselves, the less we live better, if that's grammatically correct. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break for our sponsor. We love these people, and we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110. Or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Hey, welcome back. It's Sandy James. So good to have you on Breathing Room today. We come out every Friday. We would love for you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. Our reach is growing exponentially, and we love that. We really love that. We were talking about the fact that insecurity robs from us.
Yeah.
And one of the things it robs from us is that we can't even love people well. Because perfect love casts out fear, right?
Right.
And when I'm afraid of you, love and fear are opposites. Perfect love casts out fear. When I yield to perfect love, I cast out fear. When I yield to fear, I cast out love. Does that make sense? So they're opposites. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Hate pours out of fear.
Whoa, come on.
I can't love you well if I'm afraid of you. If I'm afraid you're going to reject me. If I'm afraid that what I say to you is not going to be well received, or I'm too much for you. That's something I struggle with from time to time. Do you all ever start to struggle with, I think I'm too much for them. Yeah. I think I may be too much for me, but I think I'm definitely too much for them. Because I have my way of doing things and saying things and processing things. I have a certain way of doing things, and I'm getting more and more comfortable with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And believing that God enjoys me. Start there. The Lord of glory enjoys my life. He enjoys my personality. Now, if you're just rude, stop being rude. We're not giving you a license to be rude. Honor people. Walk in honor and in grace with people. But there are going to be things about you. I'm a morning person, very much a morning person, and a late night person, which is a real problem. But I love being happy in the morning, and I'm loud in the morning, and there's even scripture against that. But I love to greet friends in the morning and to love them well and start their day well. And there are a lot of friends I have that are not morning people, and I am way too much for them. But I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. All that to say, if I'm afraid of how you will or won't receive me, I can't love you well.
Well, I remember one time you told me, I was on my way to go see this gal that I know, and I was just dealing with insecurity and with fear and like, well, what if she disapproves of me? That was really the root of it. Okay. And I fear her opinion because I want her approval so bad. And I was on the phone with Sandy, and she said, if you fear her, then you don't really love her. And I was like, oh, that's so not fun to hear. Wow. Wow. Yes,
straight.
I do. I do, too, love her.
Right, because we think, I'm fearing because I love her so well, and I mm-hmm. don't want to hurt her feelings. That's mm-hmm. not true. The Lord convicted me of that last night.
Mm.
There's some truth I have to share with a great friend of mine, and I'm just not excited about it. And the Lord convicted me last night and said, why are you afraid to do this? And I said, well, Lord, I don't want to hurt her feelings and la, la, la. And I'm giving all my excuses. And he said, right. And what else? Have you ever had the Lord not settle for your excuses?
Well, it's like he's sitting across the living room
looking
at you. Like he's just quietly like, uh-huh.
Like, and?
Yeah, what else? What's really going on?
And when he begins to shed his light on in my soul is that I'm afraid that she'll be upset with me.
Mm.
Which is like, I'd rather, I don't know, get a root canal than have somebody upset with me. And so,
what is that?
So I would much rather go in for surgery than have somebody upset with me. And so I realized that, no, at the root of this thing is a fear for me. It has nothing to do with her. I'm not loving her.
Mm-mm.
I'm loving me.
Come on.
I'm loving my flesh.
Oh my gosh.
And I like your good opinion. And if that good opinion changes, I'm sad about that. So I want to protect me from that experience.
Mm. Yeah.
And so perfect love casts out all that mess that says I have to be pleasing to everyone. I will eventually be pleasing to most, probably, especially the lovers of Jesus.
Right.
But I have to live my life in obedience to Him.
Yeah.
He becomes the first priority. He becomes the first rung, the first thing I'm looking at, the first thing I make my judgments by.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can't serve you, I can't love you well, until I'm not afraid of you. It said that in John 13. It says Jesus, I think I'm in verse 5, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given Him all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, He rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded.
Mm.
Now, let's analyze this for a second. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He has spent His whole life for 3 years pouring into 12 men. Blood, sweat, and tears, teaching them about the kingdom, enduring their ridiculousness, and understanding that His whole mission to rescue the plan is to rescue the planet is dependent on these guys right here. These guys right here. It's almost done. We're about to go pay the ultimate sacrifice. Yes, we're about to lay it all out on the table. All of it. It's all about to go down. And He could have, and He knows everything.
Yeah.
See, that would be a problem for me. If I knew everything, the scripture also says just before that, that Judas had already betrayed Him. So He knows that Judas has already betrayed Him, and yet He's sitting there with Him in at this table.
Gosh.
And Jesus, it says that He knew that the Father had given everything into His hands, that He had come from God, and that He was going to God. So He knew what He carried.
Mm-hmm.
He knew where He came from and where He was going. And that was all that mattered. So He was able to do the lowest job in the room, which was washing an ancient Israeli's feet.
Which was not a pretty job.
That's for slaves.
Mm-hmm.
For slaves. That's a slave's job. And He washed all their feet, including Judas. And all those men were about to betray Him. Not just Judas. Judas was not the only betrayer in the room.
Well, they all left
him. They all left Him in the heat of the battle. And then Peter traveled at a distance close to Jesus, but then he cussed his way out of the situation.
Right.
To prove he was not a disciple of this Nazarene.
Right. John was the only one who stayed.
John was the only one. But I mean, that's not a good score, right? One out of 12 is going to be there at the cross when you give it up. He's going to be there at the finish line with you. One out of 12, 11 out of the 12, bail.
Wow.
The only way He could love them well was to know what He carried and that it was from God. To know that He had come from God and He was going to God.
Yeah.
He knew who He was, so He was able to love them well.
Wow.
In the worst time in history.
Yeah.
Because it's always, always darkest before the breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And this was dark.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That would be my closing thought for you, is do you know who you are?
Mm-hmm.
Have you come from God? Have you made a covenant with Him? And has He released you on the earth as a child of God? Do you know where you're going? Has He called you?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian, He's called you.
Yeah.
The strong hand of the Lord is upon your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know it. Do you know Him? Do you know what you carry? And do you know where you're going? If you do, and that continues to be the thing that you're fixed on, then you can love everybody in the room now.
Yeah.
Because forgiveness is easy. Why would I not forgive? Because I'm afraid you might do it again.
Mm.
Well, the fact is, you may do it again with or without me forgiving. But I'm going to release forgiveness freely because that keeps me free. And I get to love you well. When I'm able to love you well, I'm the strongest person in the room beside the Lord Himself. Because I'm not worried about what you think. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the fact that I got to get your opinion off of my plate.
Yeah.
I have to get your opinion of me out of my heart.
Because it can't dictate my decisions.
It can't dictate my decisions. Because that's exactly right.
Then I fear you. Then I'm living in fear.
Then I'm living in fear and I'm not fulfilling the commandment of love. Mm. My job is to love well and to bring forth the kingdom of God. I can do neither one of those things when I'm gripped by fear. And perfect love casts out fear. So let me pray for you right now, because it's time for us to be done with fear forever. Lord, I thank you for these people listening. I thank you for us in the room. And in the name of Jesus, we strike down the assignment of fear against our life. We declare that Jesus is Lord over our life and over everyone listening in Jesus' name. If you haven't yielded to Jesus, now is the time. We love you. And we want you knowing who you are in Jesus so that you can fulfill the call of God on your life and in the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.